don't care who they put in there at tackle. Woo! They got to deal with us.
You go out and fly around, you hit them in the mouth. Hit them in the mouth like they ain't never been hit before.
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Well, you better hope you can play as long as me. Hey,
I don't even know your name, but you know mine.
It's the TC Martin Show.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20, they're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Diagnosis.
They suck, so I don't need to be out game plan.
Prognosis.
I'll knock you out.
Osmosis.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems. That's all I know.
It's the doctor, T.C. Martin.
When you get on your knees and say your prayers tonight, pray.
The doctor is now in.
Oh, yeah.
All that screaming.
It must be football season because our football opens are playing. There we go. I don't know. I thought we'd reserve those possibly for the regular season, but you know what? I didn't mind it. I'm actually okay with it. It's good. I'm signing off on it.
You got a ton of games tonight. You got to, you know, not that. Look, people bet on preseason football, so we could use preseason opens.
We're going to do it. Exactly. Yeah. All right. And we're going to get a lot of handicapping coming your way, too. Starting tomorrow, Scott Spritzer joins us on the program. He'll join us each and every Friday as well as Monday. So look forward to that. Good friend Scott Spritzer with Doc Sports. Proud sponsors of the T.C. Martin Show along with CG Technology and others. So we appreciate Scott for joining us starting tomorrow. We will be at Legace Stadium. So we invite you to come on out and join us tomorrow. Showtime, Sean Porter getting ready for his... great bout coming up against Danny Swift-Garcia. A lot of trash talking going on with those guys. That'll be September the 8th at the Barclays Center. So looking forward to that. But first, we got to talk about what's happening on the program today. Steve Sachs will be joining us. Major League Baseball's two-time World Series champion, five-time All-Star, good friend of the program. Love it when Sachse comes on, tells it like it is, does a fantastic job. You can hear him on the Major League Baseball Network Radio, XM 89, Sirius XM. Great stuff, always with Steve Sachs. So he'll join us today, and we will talk about Jason Wirth's comments. And Jason Wirth, out of a job since the Nationals decided not to re-sign him after their elimination last year in the first round of the playoffs, but Jason Wirth got a standing ovation, first time that the Philly faithful treated him that way last weekend when he went back for the 10-year anniversary of the 2008 Philadelphia Phillies World Series team, and that was pretty cool. But J-Dub had some pretty harsh criticism about the game of baseball today. So we will share that with you next segment. Steve Sachs will join us and we'll get his thoughts there as well too. And I think
I like
both those guys are on the same page.
I liked his comments. I got to be honest. I saw what he said and I thought he was pretty accurate.
Spot on. And we'll dive into that coming up real shortly. But first, we got to talk a little preseason football. Like Magnum said, 12 games on the docket. This is it. First go-round for most of these teams, except for Baltimore and Chicago, who played the, I guess, semi-meaningless Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio last weekend. So 12 games tonight. Some NFL news here for you. The Patriots, and I know you Patriot haters are going to really dislike this, but we're going to give it to you anyway. The Pats added some incentives to Tom Brady's contract to get him closer. Think about that. Get him closer to the upper echelon of quarterbacks. Now, isn't Tom Brady not part of the upper echelon, but bar none, isn't he the best quarterback? I don't want to hear any Aaron Rodgers talk, Cam Newton. I don't want to hear Kirk Cousins. Don't want to hear that nonsense. Is Tom Brady, plain and simple, correct? Thank you very much.
No comment. But I know where you're going with this. So I think it says a lot about Tom Brady's desire to win.
Correct.
That he has always taken. Look, there's two approaches, right? Everyone will always compare Tom Brady and Peyton Manning because they were arguably the two greatest quarterbacks of this generation. One guy made as much money as he possibly could, which left his offensive line in shambles half the time. He had one good offensive lineman his entire time in Indianapolis, and that was Jeff Saturday.
Right. And he bolted to go to the Packers.
And now, everyone else that played on that offensive line.
And that's why Andrew Luck is in the situation he's in now.
So there's that approach. The guy who just made every single dollar he could possibly make, which look, you know what? That's what you want to do. That's your prerogative. That's fine. But there's the other approach that the franchise player who always took less money to help his team around him be better, so you could have a better offensive line, better running backs, better receivers. I like that approach because, look, if I am an NFL player, I want to win. I know my career is going to be short in most cases, but I want to win. So if I am a star player and I take $2 or $3 million less a year, if I'm already making $15 million, I don't think I'm going to be hurting for that extra $2 or $3 million.
And that all comes by the landscape of the team itself, the general manager, and buying into that and running a class organization. Exact same thing the Golden State Warriors have done. The same thing. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. Those guys are getting paid handsomely, but they could get paid a lot more elsewhere.
Well, LeBron did it in Cleveland too.
Exactly.
You know, so I like that. Look, I will never fault the guy for wanting to make more money. We all do. I mean, you and me talk about making more money all the time. But I also don't fault the pro athlete who takes less money to win. And these elite superstar athletes, I think it's a nice gesture when you see guys do that.
So what is wrong with this picture? So Tom Brady's salary is $15 million. You know where that ranks him in the league?
I would say probably 9 or 10.
It's pretty absurd. 9 or 10 would be pretty absurd, right?
Yeah.
It's 22nd.
22nd.
22nd in the National
Football League. For starting
quarterbacks? Yes, for starting quarterbacks. What? I'm going to give you this list here.
I know Stafford's at the top, right?
So, but here's some names that will blow you away. Okay, he's at 22, just behind Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's at 15.3, your soon-to-be backup with the Cleveland Browns, now on his, third team or whatever it is. Exactly, he's going to go into starter until Baker Mayfield wins a spot, and that's a nightmare in itself, and we'll get into more of that on Terrible Tuesday.
He makes less money than Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, it gets better, my friend.
Oh, God.
Cincinnati's Andy Dalton makes $16
million. No.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. The guy's never even won a playoff game.
Yeah. And the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League right now at $30 million per season is Matt Ryan. Now, Matt Ryan's fine, but remember, up until him getting to that Super Bowl year before last, he wasn't going anywhere in the playoffs.
And he kind of took a step back last year.
He did. So the Patriots have said, "We appreciate you, Tom." Tom has never bitched about it. And this is what gets me about people. And I'm not throwing this at you, Magnum, because I know you're kind of a New England, hater as well. And we have a lot of fun with that. I understand that. But for people that don't like Tom Brady, there is nothing to dislike Tom Brady about. Like you said, here's a guy that's making $15 million, and you didn't even know it. You didn't know he was 22nd because he doesn't run his mouth. If it was somebody else like this, a Cam Newton or somebody else, if it was T.O., if he was still playing in the league, you'd be hearing about it all the time. So,
well, look, Des Bryant doesn't have a job because he thinks he deserves more money than he actually is.
And by the way, last year's stats for Tom Brady, 32 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, 4,557 yards. Oh, by the way, that was a league high. His team was 13-3, and they were the AFC champions. So he gets the job done. He's 41 years old. Who cares? He plays like he's 31 years old. Yeah, he is 22nd in the league in making money for starting QBs.
Now, I will put this out there, just to play devil's advocate. But I wonder if Tom Brady would always be willing to take less money if his wife wasn't worth $100 million more than he is.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
I think it does, because clearly he's in a very secure financial situation because of her. I mean, it's a good partnership for money, but if he was married to some normal woman who didn't work.
But from the football aspect only, when have you ever heard Tom Brady threatening to sit out camp?
Never.
Or saying, "I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to test free agency," because he loves Robert Kraft, loves Belichick, loves the rings, loves the system, and there you have it.
Well, you can't question his
exactly.
You can't question his desire to win and his desire to be the very best. Look, he is a perfectionist. He wants to be very good. He wants to have a legacy as a winner. And look, I can dislike him because of where he plays and how successful he is, but I could also be objective enough to respect everything he's done off the field, as far as being a role model for young quarterbacks coming up.
All right, so NFL starts tonight. We got 12 games. When you're handicapping preseason games, the most important thing is to look at the depth chart. When you're looking at quarterbacks, remember, your quarterback may not even play tonight. He may play one series, may play two, three series at the most, depending on which starting quarterback it is. So I want to do this. I want to go down the list of NFL quarterbacks. And Magnum, I want you to chart this. You and I are going to rank each team's quarterback depth chart. Okay, so I want us to take into consideration, and again, this is like for betting purposes, but it's also for just for backups if somebody gets hurt. Because as you know, if you're going to bet preseason football, you better be betting on a quality backup and even a third string guy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You want that good third string guy.
So let's rank these. I'm going to go down the list, and you and I will both rank them, and then we'll add them up. We'll see. Okay. Let's go like a 1 to 5 system.
Okay.
5 will be the best.
Okay.
And 1 is terrible. Okay. So let's start with Arizona. Okay. Your starter is Sam Bradford. Backup is Josh Rosen. Then you have Mike Glennon after that. What's your grade for Arizona? And again, this is considering the whole
I would actually
crew.
Say 4 because I think Mike Glennon is a pretty good third-string quarterback. I don't know if we're going to get quarterbacks that are that level and on the third string for most teams. So I'm going to say a 4. Bradford, serviceable. I liked Rosen in college. I think that's a decent. They're not a 5 because
right.
I don't think Bradford's a 5, but I think they're a 4.
Okay, give me a 3 on that, and I'll tell you why. Bradford is okay, still injury prone. We have no idea what Josh Rosen's going to
be.
Have no idea, and I'm with you with Glennon that for a guy who can come in, he can start, he can be a quality backup, he's serviceable, probably better than Rosen and anybody else they got there. So give me a 3 on Arizona.
Okay,
Atlanta, Matt Ryan, Matt Schaub, Garrett Grayson.
Well, I'm surprised that Matt Schaub is still in the league. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
but
he's the number 2 right now.
I would say they're also. I'm going to say they're a 4 because I think Schaub is. No, I'm going to say a 3 because Ryan is a really good quarterback, but
he's a 5. No question.
I don't know if Schaub still can play, and I've never even heard of Garrett Grayson.
Garrett Grayson, right? Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a rookie. Came out of college. Actually, he went to Colorado State.
Oh, okay.
He's a Colorado State quarterback. I'll go 3.
Yeah.
I'll go 3. Put me down for a 3. Baltimore, we got Joe Flacco, your man.
Yes.
Robert Griffin III, Lamar Jackson.
I think they're a 2. I don't like Flacco.
You're going to drop him to a 2. Huh?
I don't like Flacco. Okay. RG3 is damaged goods,
right.
And I think Tyrod Taylor has a little bit to learn before he's ready to play in the NFL.
I think Robert Griffin can be serviceable in the preseason. Have no idea if Flacco gets hurt, can he go in there and lead anything? So I'll go 3. I'll go 3 again here. Buffalo, AJ McCarron, Nathan Peterman, Josh Allen, the rookie.
1. Because we saw Peterman stunk last year when he played.
Right.
Again, Josh Allen, high draft pick, but there were a lot of questions about him. And AJ McCarron, he's a career backup.
Career backup, exactly.
I'd give it a 0 if I could.
You could. I'll let you go 0. Yeah, I'll go 1.
Yeah.
I'll go 1.
That is a terrible, terrible.
And I'm just giving AJ McCarron a 1 just because he spent many years backing up Andy Dalton in times that he started for him. He looked better than Dalton, right?
Okay.
Serviceable.
Serviceable.
I mean, with the quotation marks. Give me a 1 for them. All right. Carolina, Cam Newton, Garrett Gilbert, Taylor Heinicke. I know what you're going to say.
I'm going 3 because Newton is a 5, but the other two guys.
Garrett Gilbert, backups are huge here.
Yeah, but the other guys are 0s.
Right.
So they kind of cancel out the fact that Cam Newton is an elite quarterback.
So you got to go the whole staff here.
Yeah, but you got to give him something. I mean, they're not a 2 because as bad as the other two guys are, Newton still
is. I'm going 2 because Cam's fine. But if he gets hurt, forget about it.
It's over.
It's over. So therefore, too, and in preseason, for betting purposes, Cam's are not going to see past the first quarter in any game, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Except maybe game 3, go into the second maybe.
Yeah.
And they really got to protect him now. Give me a 2. I'll take a deuce.
that's a terrible.
It is.
It's almost as it's not as bad as Buffalo, but it's bad.
Chicago, Mitchell Trubisky, Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray.
Well, we know Chase Daniel stinks. I don't know anything about Tyler Bray and Mitchell Trubisky. It's put up or it's do or die time for him now because he's going to be thrust into the starting job, I think. And He had moments where you think he's got some skill, but he's still an unknown quantity. I'm going to go with a 2.
I'm going to match that 2. Yep, I'll like a 2-2 because Trubisky, you have no idea. Remember, he didn't, you know, coming out of North Carolina, he didn't get a whole bunch of reps until his last year.
His last year in school, yeah.
All right, here we go. Andy Dalton, Matt Barkley, Jeff Driscoll. Those are your Bengals, 1, 2, 3.
I am going to go with a 2. I don't like Andy Dalton, Matt Barkley, no. And Jeff Driscoll, that sounds like a milk company.
Driscoll's actually okay. I'm going to go 3. Give me a 3 for Dalton, Barkley, and Driscoll. Cleveland, here we go. Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield, and my guy that I talked about the other day, who I think is the best quarterback on that roster right now, the pride of Michigan State, the Arizona Cardinal, Drew Stanton. He should be number 1 right now.
I actually like this for preseason.
Right?
Because I think Baker Mayfield's going to get a lot of playing time. I think Tyrod Taylor's going to get a lot of playing time because he's the new guy. You know, he's got to learn the system, get comfortable with his players.
But we got to look at quality, too, part of this grade.
Look, I'm one of those people who think Tyrod Taylor's not a terrible quarterback. I'm going to go with a 3 for the Browns.
Okay, and I'm going to go 3-2 because these guys are all average.
Yeah.
They're average. Yeah. But
Stanton, like Mike Glennon, is a pretty good third-string quarterback.
And I should probably go to a 2. But Taylor's has had some impressive moments. I'm not sold on him. Maybe 2.5. I'll go 3 for the sake of argument. But, you know, once they get into the regular season, I don't want any of those 3 running my team.
No, probably not. But for Seriously. The preseason, I think they're actually a pretty good.
All right. So they got some balance there. That's why I'll give them a 3.
Yes.
All right. Dallas, Dak Prescott, Cooper Rush, Mike White. Not the old coach from Cal, Mike White.
I'm going to go with a 4.
Really? Okay.
I like Prescott. He's not going to get a ton of time, but Rush was a guy that I think a lot of, you know, he was kind of an unknown guy, but I think he's got some skill for preseason. I'm going to knock that down to a 3, actually, because I think I don't know anything about the third string quarterback.
All right, so I'm going to go 3-2 just because Dak is going to boost that up a little. But again, not a big fan of Dak, especially in pressure pack games. Forget that. Denver, Case Keenum, Paxton Lynch, Chad Kelly. We talked about this with Pritch the other day. I am going to say, God, you know, Chad Kelly's got an upside, but he's a rookie. Case Keenum, I think, is fine. He's nails. Paxton Lynch, not a fan. I'm going to go 3.
I'm going to go high 3 because I like Case Keenum.
What do you think of his swimming competition or diving? 3.8? But
I think for preseason purposes, right, Paxton Lynch will be all right. And I think Chad Kelly, he was an Ole Miss before.
He's good.
He was a good quarterback. Yeah. So I'm going to go
some
high
off
3.
The field problems. Yeah. So I don't know. You're going to go high 3. Just give him a 4 if you want to go 4. You got to round it up, okay?
All right, I'll give
if
him a 4.
If you're above 3.5, you got to
give
four.
Him a 4.
That's the rules of this game.
All right,
I got 3. All right, Detroit. Stafford, Matt Castle, Jake Ruddock. Extra bonus points if you know where Jake Ruddock went to school.
Razor Ruddock?
Yeah, Razor Ruddock's kid.
Jake Razor Ruddock. I'm going to go with a...
He was Iowa, by the way.
I'm going to go with a 3.
Okay.
Because I think Stafford's decent. And, you know, Castle's won a couple games in the NFL before, so he's not, you know, he's not a nobody. I think it's a 3. I don't know anything about Jake Ruddock.
I'm going to go 4.
Really?
I'm going to go 4 just because Stafford and Castle is a very decent backup. One of the better backups that he's not going to wilt under pressure. He'll give you something. All right. Let's do a couple more here, and then we can continue this another time. Let's get this through the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Hundley, DeShone Kizer is your number 3 now.
I will tell you this. I really like it.
Do you?
I really do.
Okay.
Who's the backup?
Brett Hundley, Brett UCLA. Hundley.
Yeah, so he came in, he played well.
What?
At times.
Played horrible,
at
too.
At times.
Played very horrible.
For preseason, though.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go with a 4 with the Packers.
I'm not going to talk you out of it.
I'm going with a 4 with the Packers.
You can go 4.
Rodgers will not play a lot in the preseason, but I think DeShone Kizer, I liked him at Notre Dame. He was on a horrible Browns team, but I think there's some upside there.
And he didn't do much in his first year in Cleveland at all.
Well who does?
I think Kizer is very overrated. I saw him. He made me sick numerous times in Notre Dame. Backed his way into being a starter. He was the third string quarterback before heading into his last year. Brett Hundley is a disaster. And Rodgers, of course, is one of the elite. So I want to say two, but I am going to say two. I'm going to say two just because Hundley is that bad, in my opinion. All right. Houston, Deshaun Watson, Brandon Wheaton, Joe Webb. Your man Joe Webb from Minnesota.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm giving that a two.
You're giving that a two?
Because backup and third string stink.
Yeah. Yep.
And Deshaun Watson coming off injury, he's not going to play a ton in the preseason because they look what's behind him.
Yes.
They cannot risk injury.
I'm with you.
They stink.
Two. Two as well, too. Colts in action tonight. Andrew Luck's first game under center. Andrew Luck, you know who the backup is?
No.
Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
I call him Brissett, but
yeah, Brissett, you know. Yeah.
And Philip Walker.
Not to be confused with Philip from Galt.
Or Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Okay.
Nah.
I'm going to go with a three because Andrew Luck is good, obviously. And I think Brissett is decent. I don't know anything about the third string guy, though.
Yeah.
But I think one and two are pretty solid for preseason purposes.
Yeah, I think Luck and Brissett is serviceable. Walker, I don't know him, so a little nip there. I'm a hard grader, so I'm going to go three. I wanted to go four, I really did, but...
With Luck coming off the injury, though...
You don't, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's three. All right, a couple more. We're going alphabetical order here, so we're going to go basically A through L here. So Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, Cody Kessler, Tanner Lee. You know where Tanner Lee's from?
No.
You saw him. BYU.
Oh, Cody Kessler still in the league too?
Yeah, USC. Blake Bortles is your starter, as we know.
I'm going to go with a two. Bortles, decent. I don't think he's elite. He's got to prove it to me this year that last year was not a fluke. Yeah. I'm not sold. Cody Kessler, obviously, I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Right.
And Tanner Lee, BYU quarterbacks hardly ever translate in the NFL.
I'm with you. I'm going to go two. Exactly. Just because Bortles can blow up at any time. I know he had a great year last year. But when it counted, he didn't. Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne, Pride of Michigan, and Matt McGloin. There you go for the Kansas City Chiefs. Henne, McGloin.
That's bad. I'm going two.
I'm going one.
I'm actually leaning that way as well.
I'm going one because Mahomes.
Unproven. Henne stinks. We already know he stinks.
And McGloin can't move in the pocket.
Yeah, so that's definitely in the one
couldn't
area.
Move at Penn State, couldn't move as a pro.
Ugh.
Forget about it.
Yeah, Casey.
All right.
Let's hope Mahomes is the real deal for them or they're going to stink.
And what's Alex Smith saying right now, right?
Thank God.
Last two, the Chargers and the Rams. Chargers, Rivers, Geno Smith, your guy, and Cardell Jones from Ohio State.
I actually like that.
Yeah?
I'm not a Geno hater. I think he has moments where you're like, this guy is a complete buffoon. But then he has other moments where you're like, you know, Geno's not a terrible quarterback. I'm going to go.
Just don't get punched out in the locker room.
Yeah, that's an average. So I'm going to go right in the middle with a three.
Man, I'm going to go.
Because Rivers is in the elite category.
I'm between a two and a three here because I like Rivers. Geno Smith is horrendous, and Cardell Jones isn't going to be any good.
Well, he's not a quarterback, probably.
Yeah, three. Give me three. And finally, the Rams: Jared Goff, Sean Mannion, Brandon Allen.
Oof.
Give me a two.
Yeah, I'm with you. Goff, another guy, prove it to me again before
I
can. Yeah.
And then if he gets hurt or he needs to see, those other guys need to see substantial minutes, forget about
They'll be trading for Razor Ruddock.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right. So we got more than half the teams, and we'll continue this possibly tomorrow, too. Maybe we'll do this with Scott Sprites for tomorrow. We'll have some fun with that. So there he goes. Yeah, just keep that list. I want to take a look at that. And so here's the moral to the story. How many fives do we have on our list?
Zero.
How many fours do we have on our list?
I have three.
Three.
I wasn't keeping track of yours. Was I supposed to?
Yeah, I said write it down. That's why I said give me, write me down.
I thought you only wanted mine. That's all right. We could go back through it later. But yeah. But yeah, we only, look, I don't think you had many fours. I gave the Cardinals a four. I gave Denver a four. And I gave the Lions a four.
I think I maybe had one or two. So there you go. But
I think we were in agreement with Denver.
Yeah. Thanks for keeping score, by the way. Halfway. Good job. That's like a box score. You're keeping the scorebook, for a baseball game or a softball
team. Yeah.
Yeah, you're only keeping the half. Yeah. What's the score? Well, we got zero. I know that their guys crossed the plate a whole bunch of times. Way to go, Magnum. Steve Sachs joins us next. We talk about Jason Wirth's comments, and Steve Sachs is going to have plenty to say as well, too. Coming up next, T.C. Martin Show on Fox. Don't forget, Las Vegas Aces in action tonight, 7 o'clock, Mandalay Bay Event Center. Join me. If you're not going to the game, we'll have the broadcast on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Pre-game show at 6:30. We'll talk to Carolyn Swords tonight in the pre-game show. Of course, also Bill Lambeer. Carolyn Swords, the player rep for the Aces. So we'll talk to her about that nightmare travel that they had back east and resulting in a forfeit of the game. So again, get out to Mandalay Bay tonight. If you won tickets, hey, come on out. Say hi. Look forward to seeing you. 7 o'clock tip-off against the defending WNBA champs, the Minnesota Lynx. Right now, we talk a little Major League Baseball. The two-time World Series champion, five-time All-Star, and of course, you can hear him on the Major League Baseball Network Radio XM89. The second baseman, Steve Sachs. What's going on, Steve?
TC, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. What do you know?
Good. Oh, you know what? I know one thing. They're in the dog days of summer right now, and they're getting closer to getting this thing kind of shaped up and see who's going to be in the postseason. I got, you know, everybody can look and see who the leaders are right now and how this thing is going, and it's going to be a fun thing. I think we've got a lot of surprises in the National League East. I think people thought it was almost going to be a coronation at the start of the season with the Washington Nationals. Hasn't been the case with Atlanta and Philly leading that one. But all the other races, there's some good ones out there. And, of course, not the American League Central. The Cleveland Indians are going to pretty much run away with that, as are the Boston Red Sox in the East. But in the West, we have two good races in the American and the National League.
Steve, you didn't leave me with nothing. You just wrapped up a whole segment, a 15-minute segment in 39 seconds. I'll see you later, man.
Yeah, sorry about that, man.
Hey, I want to talk to you about Jason Worth's comments. He did an interview in Philadelphia. I'm going to read you his quotes, and for our listeners as well, too. I think it's pretty telling, and I think a lot of us feel the exact same way. Here's what Jason Worth had to say on how he feels the game of baseball has been played and managed today. Here's the quote. They've got all super nerds, as I call them, in the front office that know nothing about baseball, but they like to project numbers and project players. I think it's killing the game. It's to the point where just it's computers and all computers out there. Just put laptops in what you have. Just put them out there and let them play. We don't even need to go there anymore. It's a joke. When they come down, these kids from MIT or Stanford or Harvard, wherever they're from, they've never played baseball in their life. When they come down to talk about stuff like shifts and other things, should I just bunt over there? They're like, no, don't do that. We don't want you to do that. We want you to hit a homer. It's just not baseball to me. We're creating something that's not fun to watch. It's boring. You're turning players into robots. They've taken the human element out of the game. When you hear that, what do you think of J-Dub's thoughts?
Yay! Way to go, J-Dub. I think a lot of what he's saying is true. You know, the baseball that was invented way back when with some pretty smart people in mind, just for them to come up with a concept of playing baseball. And this is, and all of a sudden now, if you don't go along with the shift and the numbers crunching, you are an old curmudgeon person who doesn't get it anymore. You're out of step. You know, it's all about why not use the smart analytic stuff. It's, this stuff is available now and it wasn't before. The transfer of information is here. Why aren't you using it? I mean, what's wrong with you? I think what Jason Worth said is right on. People never play. Look, I see these shifts happen. I see a 42 hopper go through the right side of the infield, right where the two steps to the right of the second baseman. It goes in there for a base hit with guys in double play position. Are you kidding me? One thing I learned when I was coming up through the ranks, you never give up the opportunity to make a double play. And I see so many opportunities. Ask any pitcher in spring training, if you go there next year, TC, ask him how many of these pitchers like the shift. I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 of them hate it.
Of course.
Because they hate seeing these balls go through there for base hits that shouldn't be that base hits.
No, you're right. And here's another comment from a guy that you know probably pretty well. Goose Gossage said this 2 years ago. His quote was, "The game's a joke. The game is becoming a freaking joke because of the nerds who are running it. I'll tell you what has happened. These guys played rotisserie baseball at Harvard and wherever the F they went, and they thought they figured the effing game out. They don't know blank, and I'm sure you can figure out what the blank is. Your boy, Goose Gossage, he said that in 2016. Jason Worth is coming back and saying it now. It's just that I think that is the feeling. People want to wonder, they wonder, Steve, why television ratings are down with Major League Baseball, why attendance is down at the ballpark. That's got something to do with it, as well as with high ticket prices and stuff, too.
Let me kind of pick at this a little bit. First of all, Goose Gossage was a guy I played against and a former teammate.
Right.
Love the guy. He, as you can see, doesn't mix words up much. He kind of tells it like it is. I think if you kind of decipher a lot of what he says is true. I would say it with a little bit of a different tenor, but you can get the gist of what he's saying. Why is attendance down? Well, they try to make excuses and say because of the bad weather in the East. That's not even the case at all. The bad attendance is down because people are sick and tired of watching these guys strike out every other time they come up to bat. They're tired of the same old thing of putting five guys on the right side of the infield when it's ridiculous, and then the player, all he has to do is push a bunt or hit it to the other side, and you got to hit, and that stuff will stop, but they don't do that because they're knuckleheaded, and they just want to try to hit a home run every time they come up. So manufacturing runs is gone by the wayside. I mean, how many times you see a guy move a guy over on second base with nobody out? I mean, they're still trying to hit a home run. And they miss cutoff man. They don't keep the double play in order. And you can't touch a middle infielder. You can't touch the catcher. It's just a wimped-out game, man. It has gone by way of the American sportsman called the American wimpification factor. And that's what it is. There's a bunch of wimps playing. They do it in football, too. Can't crash a guy out of bounds. You got to negotiate him to the ground now. It's just gone too far. But, it is what it is. And these guys are losing their attendance because not only the reasons I mentioned before, but because, half the league is out of the race. They really are. And all they're doing now is going for a draft picks. Baltimore's gotten, 34, 35 games this year? I mean, some games you go to, why go? It's just going to be a slaughter fest. There's not the same parity. There are some good races, but on the other part, it's like the have and the have-nots. A lot of the teams aren't even in competition anymore.
Steve Sachs joining us, 2-time World Series champ, of course, 5-time All-Star. You can hear him on Major League Baseball Network Radio XM 89. Steve, the shift has been around a long, long time. It was there when you played.
Yeah,
shift has always been part of the game. What is different now than it was before? As far as the shift?
Well, look, we had big guys that would come up, big left-handed hitters, and I would go there in the hole at second base. But you know what? We didn't have the third baseman coming over there.
Right.
You know, you had the third base still playing third base. You had the shortstop shifted up towards the middle, and, of course, he would do the pivot on the double play. That's all we did. We moved over, but not to the extreme. Today, if you're a left-handed hitter, they have everybody over there. It doesn't matter if you're a 220 hitter. They put everybody over there in the shift. And I'll tell you what, I think it's just absolutely stupid. I really do. I see regular ground balls going through the infield for base hits. I mean, if a guy hits a line drive, give him a base hit. I mean, what you're doing is when you're shifting, you're telling the hitter exactly what you're going to do and when you're going to pitch to him. Okay? And I don't know. I just don't get it. The shift's been around, but it hasn't been such an exaggerated thing. And they didn't do it to every left-handed hitter.
Right.
Not that that's what they do today.
And the thing about it is, you brought up a key point there, talking about how we see a lot of left-handed hitters, and everyone wants to go for the long ball. Bryce Harper is a polished hitter. He's a polished baseball player. He's a five-tool player. You know darn well he can bunt. But when do you ever see Bryce Harper bunt? And any of these guys, we're not talking about power hitters. They can lay it down just about any time they want and probably be on first base. If they're willing to take a walk, why not lay down a bunt? Because like you said, the whole left side is wide open.
That's a great point. If you're going to take a walk, why not get a bunt? You know, listen, here's what I would do. If I was a power-hitting left-handed hitter, I would bunt twice a game, and I'm guaranteed to get one of those times I'll get a hit, maybe two. What's the difference if you hit a bullet up the middle for a base hit or you push a bunt down the third baseline for a single? What the hell is the difference?
All the same in the scorebook. You know,
it's no different. And, you know, if you can get – I'd get two hits a game like that until they started playing over there, then I'd start going back hitting home runs. But, yeah, I don't know. I would bunt once or twice a game I would work on it all spring training, all winter long, and I would become the best bunter in the world. And I would do that if I was a power hitting left hander. But these guys don't do it.
What would you hit today if you were playing in today's Major League Baseball?
Look. If they played the shift on me, I don't know what I'd hit. I know one thing: they couldn't pitch me inside because if they hit me, they'd get warned and thrown out of the game. I know that as a hitter, so I don't worry about the inside part of the plate. I'd work the middle of the field and just not have to worry about the inside part of the plate. I mean, I think that would be a lot easier to hit today. And if they shifted on me, oh my God, I don't know what I'd hit, but it'd be a lot higher than the 280 I hit when I played.
But you never saw too many shifts because you hit the ball all over the place. You went to right field.
I didn't have to worry about the shift because I was trying to hit the ball up the middle anyway. So if I was playing today, they wouldn't shift on me. We're talking about a hypothetical. They wouldn't shift on me today. They would play me pretty much the same way they used to.
Magnum wants to know if they would shift on Homer Simpson.
Yeah, they would shift him to right field is what they would do. They'd shift him the other way. That's what they would do. By the way, TC, that was on the other day. That show was on. I watched it. It was on national TV again.
Look at that. And your phone blew up probably, right?
Yes, I had a lot of tags, a lot of emails on that. But it was on, I think, just a couple days ago. I think it was on maybe last weekend.
Did you tell Steve the story about my kid and the baseball card?
Go ahead, tell him.
So a couple weeks ago, my kid is sifting through some of my old baseball cards, and he comes into the room, and he's like, "Dad, do you know this guy Steve Sachs?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I know who he is." He's like, "Dad, he's got a really cool name."
Nice and easy. I guess the announcer for the New York Yankees, the old announcer, what was his name again? Bob Shepard.
Right.
Remember how he would announce
the
game?
Yes.
He said that I had one of the most boring names to announce. See, for a guy like that, you need a double, a two-syllable name to go at the end, like Derek Jeter.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But just Steve Sachs, it was just nothing. It was boring for him. So anyway, he thought I had a boring name.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. And you do a very good Bob Shepard impersonation. Of course, we're referencing the famous Homer Simpson episode where Steve went to the Hall of Fame because of that. So very, very nice.
Right.
All right. Hey, what is the worst part of the game today? Whether it's the shift, other rules, and I know that you feel a lot of these things irking you, and they do me too, but if you had to say one thing that just really sends you over the edge, what is it?
Well, let me say two things I think that send me over the edge, okay? Number one is probably the wimpification of the American sportsman. Wimped out, wimp, and wimp more, okay? Wimp McWimperson, I think we could say. That's one thing I don't like. I mean, look, when I was a second baseman, they came down there with some ferocity in their heart. They were trying to take your legs off. And I was taught, if you don't get out of the way, they're going to bust you up. And one time, Tim Raines got me. He took me right down to the bone. I was looking at it on the field. It was scary. In as much as, it's a dangerous part of the game, I liked it. I liked the dangerous part of the game. I thrived on it. I liked that the guy was trying to kill me down there. I wanted to get the hell out of the way. That was part of the intrigue of playing. That part bothers me. The other thing is all the numbers and the shift and all that stuff, and the fact that these guys don't care if they strike out. When I struck out, TC, I took it very personally. When I struck out, I was pissed off. You know what I mean? I took it personally. Right. Today, these guys don't care. It's like they just saunter out of the box and kind of, skip back to the dugout. You know what? I was breaking helmets if that happened with me. I didn't like that. So it's just a different way of looking at it.
I remember, and I think that's why a lot of people loved you, too, because you played with passion, plain and simple. You wore it on your sleeve, my friend. There's no doubt about that. It's like you see with Little League or even girls softball. It's like they strike out. Hey, 1, 2, 3, they run back to the dugout.
They run back, and then actually when they get in the dugout, they put the helmet down and somebody high-fives them. I saw somebody strike out. You got high-fives.
What?
They came back to the dugout.
What?
Are you kidding me? If I was managing and somebody got high-fived, they wouldn't be playing. I mean, I don't get it. Ask Larry Bowa what he thought about striking out.
Oh, yeah. There's another one. Yeah, exactly.
Ask Larry about it. Yeah, he's still the same way I did.
Absolutely. All right, my friend. Hey, great stuff. Next time we have you on, we'll promise to talk a little pennant race. How's that?
Sounds great, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
I appreciate it, man. Take care. There he is, Steve Sachs. You can hear him on the Major League Baseball Network Radio. XM89 does a fantastic job each and every night giving his thoughts, and love having him on the program. when he joins us here. Two-time World Series champion. Of course, the five-time All-Star, the Dodger, the Yankee. And what was the name of that team that he was on with Homer Simpson?
It was the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant softball team, yes. I can't wait to tell my kid next time I see him, guess who I just talked to? I talked to Steve Sachs.
You did? With a cool name.
Yeah, with a cool name. Yeah. He likes music, so he thought it was cool, like saxophone. So
of course. Yeah. There you go. And I'll tell you about Steve as well, too. When he talks about playing with that passion, when he would just be so upset and that sort of thing, you know, that's the way he was his entire life, just when he was growing up and playing in high school. And even afterwards, he's always had a passion for boxing and mixed martial arts.
Oh, cool.
And you should see this guy in the ring. He lets it go.
Yeah.
And he trains like a maniac, not, you know, to actually compete or anything, but just as part of a workout. But he loves the contact. Like he said, he loved that contact when he's playing second base. He loved, you know, running the bases and taking somebody out, taking out the shortstop. He loved that. And to this day, he still loves that type of mano a mano.
I like guys who play the game with a lot of passion. Clean, but with passion, you know? I mean, that's kind of like, I think that's the way you're supposed to play, because I think, you know, even, you know, probably you and me, we were growing up, I hated losing. Even to this day, right? If I'm on the company softball team, I don't want to lose to the RJ. I don't want to lose to another radio station across town.
But see, you notice the common denominator here with all these guys that I'm talking to, bringing on the program here. They all have that passion.
They're old school guys.
And my Sacramento guys. He talked about Larry Bowa. Bill Cartwright, you heard him go off yesterday.
Yeah, well, he wasn't
Saxie's
happy.
Saxie's going off. Yeah, I've told you what Dusty's had to say. Is our Sacramento guys, man, they don't play around.
Yeah, well, no, it's
those Hall of Famers. There you go.
I would imagine that Sacramento is probably a pretty tough area, you know, to grow up in. So I think when you come from a place, you know, North Jersey or South Jersey, like I did, you know, you're going to have that. It's not easy to live there. So,
but it's just a generation thing too. You know, when you grow up, when we grow up, and you know, I'm older than you, but you know, close to the age of these guys.
I think
we're
it
talking
started.
To, it's a generation thing where, man, you were out there and you were playing all the time.
Yeah,
you
I think
playing.
It started with after my age. I think the generation after me. You see, I don't ever see kids out in the street playing ball.
All right, want to thank Steve Sachs for joining us. All right, back to wrap things up after this. Oh, yes. Get the CG Technology mobile app. It's betting made easy over at the Palms, the M Resort, the Silverton, the Venetian Plaza, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana. You can let a little dream on go. A little Aerosmith. There you go. Yes. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at Legace Stadium. So come on out. See the show. Showtime. Sean Porter will be joining us, the former welterweight champ. He's on a roll. Huge fight coming up against Danny Swift Garcia on Showtime on September the 8th. So come on out. Join us tomorrow. Eat some great food. Free parking inside the Palazzo at the Venetian Resort. That's at Legace Stadium. So you go inside, park for free, go downstairs, follow the signs to Legace Stadium. Great for draft parties, corporate events, prime location on the Strip. And that menu's kicked up by Emeril Lagasse. That's right, 100 HD screens, including 9x16-foot screens. So tonight's a good night to go over there. Go check out the action. You have a lot of football games going on. Of course, Saturday, Sunday, the luxury boxes, stadium-style seating at Legace Stadium. We'll be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I want to thank Steve Sachs for joining us today and Magnum for keeping half of a scorecard. Always very nice for rating the quarterbacks. What am I going to do with you, man? Oh, geez. But that's okay. At least you got your Steve Sachs little moment today.
Yeah, I am. Little boy's going to be happy.
There you go. Sounds good. All right. Legace Stadium tomorrow. Look forward to that. Showtime, Sean Porter. Have yourself a good one. If you miss any part of the show, check out the interview with Bill Cartwright. That's on the website from yesterday. Good stuff there. Go see the Aces tonight as well. Mandalay Bay tip-offs at 7 o'clock. If you can't get out there, join us 6:30 with the pregame show on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Follow us on Twitter at TCMartin21. Go to the website, TCMartinShow.com. Have yourself a good one. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock, right here, Fox Sports Radio.